Hello everyone, Daria here, finally, and welcome to episode number 15 of the Slow Russian Language Podcast. I am so sorry guys, I know it's been 2 weeks and it's crazy how long is that, but today I'm finally here again and I'm having a great content for you. We're going to talk about the Russian language itself and you'll hear an awesome vocabulary today. But before we jump right to the content, a couple more things. First, I see myself that this podcast is getting a little bit easier than it was planned to be. And thank you guys for pointing to it, especially Adam from Cambridge. Thank you very much, my dear friend. Today's episode is going to be more difficult. It's for intermediate level listeners, but upper beginners and beginners, please don't be sad. And if you have problems understanding this podcast, please go and check my YouTube channel. The Slow Russian video course will be just fine for you. And also, I'm on Twitter now, finally, so you can follow me there. Unfortunately, the name Real Russian Club was already occupied again for no reason by the guy with no followers and no tweets, but it's done. So on Twitter, I'm Real Rus Club. Go and have a look. And now finally to the content. Today it's about the Russian language and it's one of those dialogues I recorded being in Omsk in January. So again, it's real conversational Russian, but don't worry, it seems very quick. But after it, I will read it slowly and explain each and every word. So stay here, please.
Что про русский язык?
Ну, давай поговорим про русский, как... ну, вот реально ли его выучить иностранцам? То есть для нас-то это понятно, мы болтаем там, все такое. Возможно ли на таком же уровне?
Сложная тема. Но тут прежде всего как бы на себя проецируешь. Думаешь, а как бы ты выучил язык другой иностранный? Ну, вот мы, как правило, учим в школе 10 лет, 11, в институте, в вузе учим 5-6 лет.
Ну, а кого-нибудь, кто из иностранцев говорит по-русски, ты знаешь?
Ну, конечно, встречала в своей жизни, говорила, общалась. И на отдыхе очень часто иностранные граждане пытались с нами говорить на нашем языке, ну, на русском.
Откуда они были?
Это всегда очень забавно. Из разных стран, из Западной Европы.
А откуда они знают русский?
А, ну, это там разные варианты. Кто-то просто как хобби изучал, кого-то жизнь заставила, кто-то пожил в нашей среде языковой. Вот.
Ну и как ты оцениваешь, это звучит смешно или нормально?
Это звучит всегда очень привлекательно. Ну, смешно — это не то слово. Ну, вызывает улыбку.
And that was it for the text. Actually, it's just the part one, because when I listened to this dialogue one more time, I realized it was so long. So I decided to cut it in two, and today it's just the first part of it. So my mom was the first one speaking here, and she says,
Что про русский язык?
What about the Russian language? I guess here behind the scenes I offered her, let's talk about Russian. And she asks back, What about the Russian language?
Что про русский язык?
And then I reply,
Ну, давай поговорим про русский.
Как? Well, let's talk about Russian and how... And here I stopped thinking, like, what exactly about the Russian language we should talk about?
Ну, вот реально ли его выучить иностранцам?
Is it possible for foreigners to learn it? Here I want you to pay attention to the word реально, because it's not just real happening in reality, but the synonym in Russian also is возможно, possible. Is it possible for foreigners to learn the Russian language? Реально ли? Another example, is it possible to eat 500 cakes?
Реально ли съесть 500 тортов?
Or another example, imagine that someone pretends to have finished everything for just an hour, the whole work. And you can say,
Ты врешь, закончить всю работу за час Нереально. You are lying. To finish the work in 1 hour is not possible. Нереально. It doesn't mean that it's not real, like in fantasy world or something. No, it means it's not possible. It's just too hard to do the whole work in 1 hour. Нереально. Okay, the next sentence.
То есть для нас-то это понятно. Мы болтаем там и все такое.
I mean, for us it's obvious. We can chat and everything. Whew, in Russian there is some slang here. Especially this phrase.
И все такое.
It's kind of a filler phrase again. Something like and everything. I guess it comes from late 90s and early like 2000s, 2001 maybe, when Beavis and Butthead were extremely popular in Russia on MTV channel. And I don't know what he was saying in English because I never watched it in English, but in Russian Butthead had a famous phrase. He ended each sentence by «И всё такое». «И всё такое». It can be translated as «and so on» and «everything». Just in the end of the sentence. Also here you see the word болтать.
Мы болтаем.
It can mean to shake something. When you take some item and you shake it in your hand.
Болтать чем-то.
But also it means to chat.
Болтать с кем-то. Мы болтаем.
We are chatting. You know, like everyday chatter. Not a serious conversation, no. Something small and funny.
Болтать.
Okay, the next sentence.
Возможно ли на таком же уровне?
Is it possible to do it at the same level? You see, in English this sentence sounds complete. Is it possible to do it at the same level? But in Russian it's kind of seems not finished.
Возможно ли на таком же уровне?
And then what? I meant here, возможно ли выучить русский язык на таком же уровне? But to make it shorter, I only say, возможно ли на таком же уровне? And here pay attention to the word уровне.
Уровень. На таком же уровне.
Уровень itself means a level, but when you say that something is on some level,
на уровне,
it means high quality. Synonyms in Russian are хорошее качество,
достойно.
It's good quality at the high level. Imagine that someone was having a public speaking situation and after that someone comes to the person and says that it was great, you were good. So in Russian it would sound
Ты сегодня был на уровне.
You did great. It means that the speaking was really good. Or imagine that some project is of a very high quality.
Проект сделан на уровне.
So just this phrase, на уровне, means great quality, very good. Okay, and then my mom replies,
сложная тема.
It's a difficult topic, like difficult subject.
Сложная тема.
And then she continues,
но тут прежде всего как бы на себя проецируешь.
Here you imagine it for yourself. And again, in Russian it's a little bit different. First, let's look at this
прежде всего.
The synonyms in Russian are
сначала, для начала, во-первых.
It's at first, firstly, before everything else. Literally, it means before you do anything else.
Прежде всего.
For example, imagine the situation when someone is having exam in, I don't know, theater, academy, theater, college, and the person runs into the room and immediately starts, to be or not to be, that is the question. And the examiners are like, oh, wait. First, introduce yourself. Like, who are you? So in Russian, they would say, прежде всего, представьтесь, кто вы? And then there is a very interesting phrase. Как бы на себя проецируешь? This как бы. It's extremely common here and it's very sad. It's, I don't know if you use that expression like junk word. It means that you don't need it actually, but some people just can't speak and they put those kinds of words everywhere. If it's appropriate, if it's not appropriate, no one cares. They just put it in the middle of the sentence everywhere. It's kind of similar to the English, you know. And in Russian, it's как бы. I don't know, I'll try to say something like that. Вчера я как бы читала, ну, как бы книгу, и она, как бы, знаешь, такая интересная. In English, it would sound like, yesterday I read a book, and, you know, it was, interesting, wow. So, in Russian, that you know part is как бы, and you will hear it a lot if you come to Russia. Not in official language, not on TV, not on the news, no, but when real Russians, I mean, like people on the street, they can speak like that a lot. And another expression here, проецировать на себя. To project to yourself, something like that. It means to imagine something for yourself. It usually, you know, happens with depressed people. When they hear some bad news, when someone has, I don't know, cancer or something, and they immediately start to imagine that it will happen to them. Проецируют на себя. And here my mom says that she's kind of imagining for herself, is it possible to learn the foreign language? На себя проецирует. And then she says, думаешь, а как бы ты выучил язык другой, иностранный? And think how you would learn another foreign language. Well, here everything is pretty obvious because we used to talk about this word, иностранный, foreign, a lot in previous episodes. And then she says, ну вот мы, как правило, учим в школе 10 лет, 11. We usually studied at school for 10 years, 11. Как правило, we already talked about it too, it means as a rule, usually. So in Russian, it's обычно. Мы учим язык 10 лет. And then in the dialogue, I laughed and I replied, да уж. It can be translated like, yeah, okay, yeah. And no wonder it made me laugh, because in Russia, according to official statistics, only like 5 or 6% of people can speak English or can understand English at all. And there is some international list of countries about knowing the English language, something like that. So Russia is on 39 or 40th, I'm not sure, out of 70, something like that. So not a great result. And it's just a fact. So if you are planning to come to Russia, be prepared that almost no one speaks it. In Moscow, it's okay. In Moscow, people do speak, especially young people. They will be able to explain you how to find the right way or something. But if you go a little bit deeper in Russia, especially far from the big cities, it really can be very complicated there. The next sentence. My mom continues about that educational part, not just in school, but in university too. And she says, в институте, в вузе учим 5-6 лет. At the university, we study for 5-6 years. Here, please pay attention to the word вуз. Вуз. It's abbreviation. In Russian, it's высшее учебное заведение. It means a college and university. Вуз. Very common it is in Russia that we call it вуз. Not университет. Not институт. But just вуз. For example, я учусь в вузе с 2002 года. I've been studying in college since 2002. It means that someone is studying in college, in university, в университете, в институте, but it's also possible to say в вузе. And there is even adjective for it, вузовский, meaning high educational, everything concerning the high education, вузовский. For example, you want to say that education in Russia is becoming more and more expensive. Вузовское образование в России становится дороже. Higher education in Russia is becoming more and more expensive. Okay, sad but true, and we're going to the next sentence. And I asked my mom,
ну а кого-нибудь, кто из иностранцев говорит по-русски, ты знаешь?
And do you know anyone among foreigners who speaks Russian? So listen to it again.
А кого-нибудь, кто из иностранцев говорит по-русски, ты знаешь?
If you rephrase it, it would sound,
ты знаешь кого-нибудь из иностранцев, кто говорит по-русски?
Or the same phrase would be,
ты знаешь иностранцев, которые говорят по-русски?
It's all the same, but for some reason I chose the most complicated version of it. Sorry. Okay, and she replies,
ну, конечно, встречала в своей жизни.
Of course, I met some in my life.
Говорила, общалась.
Talked, communicated.
Общаться, to communicate.
Okay, the next sentence.
И на отдыхе очень часто иностранные граждане пытались с нами говорить на нашем языке, на русском.
Oh, that was a long one. And on vacation, very often foreigner citizens try to speak our language, Russian. Again, do you recognize this word? На отдыхе, on vacation. We talked about it when we were talking about the Russian women and how they were obsessed with how they looked.
На отдыхе, on vacation.
Okay, and then she says,
это всегда очень забавно.
And it always is very cute. Here, be careful, because the word забавно, забавный, it literally means funny, something entertaining. It's the synonym to смешной, веселый, or even нелепый, комичный. But here she means that it was cute. It was not funny like, ha ha ha, they try to speak Russian, it's so silly. No, it means that it was so cute that they were trying to speak Russian with them. Like, забавно in a good way. And then I asked her,
ну, откуда они были?
From where were they?
Ну, откуда они были?
From where were they? And she replies,
из разных стран,
from different countries,
из Западной Европы,
from West Europe. And then I ask her again,
а откуда они знают русский?
And how did they learn Russian? Actually, it means, how do they know Russian? And my mom replies,
ну,
again that ну here,
ну, это там разные варианты.
You see, it's just so conversational. She could have just said разные варианты, And those three words are just nothing. It's just junk words in the beginning.
Ну, это там разные варианты.
I guess in English it's the best way to translate it is they learned it in different ways. Literally, it means разные варианты, different variants, different variations. Okay, we're going on, and she continues.
Кто-то просто как хобби изучал.
Someone learned it as a hobby. Again, here you see the weird order of words. It's better to say
кто-то изучал как хобби.
But she says кто-то как хобби изучал. Anyway, it means that someone learned it as a hobby. The next sentence.
Кого-то жизнь заставила.
Someone needed it in life. Literally,
жизнь заставила
means life compelled. Life forced them to learn Russian. And it's a very interesting expression. Жизнь заставила. Usually we use it when it comes to some situation when a person has to learn something unusual. Like something that he or she would never do without some circumstances. Like here, just maybe someone had to go to Russia and had no choice. Maybe it was some great job or maybe it was love or something like that. And he or she had to learn Russian. Жизнь заставила. Life circumstances compelled them to learn Russian. Okay, and then she continues.
Кто-то пожил в нашей среде языковой.
Someone used to live in our language area. Again, the order of words in the conversational Russian is usually different.
Кто-то пожил в нашей среде языковой.
You may ask, why not языковой среде? It's so natural that the adjective comes before the noun. But no. In conversation, it's just, I don't know, always complicated.
Пожил в нашей среде языковой.
I used to live in our language area. And then she says,
вот.
Вот, here it means just the end of her passage. Like, that's it. And then I ask her,
ну и как ты оцениваешь?
And how do you rate it? Meaning from the position of a Russian native speaker. How do you rate it?
Как ты оцениваешь?
And then I ask more. I ask,
это звучит смешно или нормально?
Does it sound funny or normal? And her last reply.
Это звучит всегда очень привлекательно.
It always sounds very attractive.
Но смешно – это не то слово.
Funny is a wrong word.
Ну, вызывает улыбку добрую.
Well, it brings a kind smile.
Вызывать улыбку.
It means that something caused you, like, to smile in a very good way. So it was so cute that you smile.
Вызвать улыбку.
And that was it for the vocabulary section. You know, in the last, like, 5 episodes, I forgot completely about that repetition part, and I received several emails asking what was wrong with me, why I promised to make those repeat after me parts, and I didn't put them in the episode. So sorry, it's my bad, I really forgot about it, sorry. But you know what I decided? It's too long to repeat the whole text again. So I decided to pick the most interesting vocabulary and repeat only those words one more time. Because I'm not a big fan of that repeat after me thing. It's, well, for some people it's really useful and they like to repeat. But for me it's, I don't know, it's the old way of teaching. I prefer questions and answers, not repetition. But anyway, if you were asking for it, so here it comes. Now listen one more time, please, for the most interesting sentences.
Реально ли выучить русский язык иностранцам? возможно ли выучить его на таком же уровне? Прежде всего, как бы на себя проецируешь? Мы учим язык в вузе 5-6 лет. Это звучит очень забавно. Кого-то жизнь заставила выучить русский.
So that was it for today. Don't forget to check the description box, the show notes for today's episode, because there you can find very useful links for you. It's my website, my YouTube channel, Facebook page, Twitter, and so on. And please feel free to contact me on my email. It's realrussianclub@gmail.com. I will be happy to receive your questions and comments and suggestions and everything. If you have a couple of minutes, or actually a couple of seconds, please spend them to leave an honest review on iTunes. It means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it when you do that.
Okay, thank you very much for listening, and as usual, I hope to see you in the next episode of the Slow Russian Language Podcast. Bye-bye!